Hey everyone, how's it going? This is Azrin, the Language Nerd here. I'm the owner of the Calgary Language Nerds, and welcome to today's YouTube video and, of course, podcast episode. I would like to talk about a few different things today. The first one is one way that many traditional language classes fail to help learners to actually speak in the target language. The second thing is an activity you can do, a reasonably simple activity, in fact, that you can do at home to improve your listening comprehension skills. And lastly, I'd like to share something that I've learned from the private swim lessons that I have been taking recently. In fact, let's start with that third one. I really like that. So in case you don't know, I have been taking private swimming lessons over the past, I want to say 4 months, 3 months, something like that. I never learned to swim as a kid. I was afraid of the water. I thought there were sharks and alligators in swimming pools that were waiting to eat me up. I also thought that it was uncomfortable swimming. Going in the water was cold. I would get water up my nose. Then you have to go to the change rooms and you have to remember where your locker is. You have to dry off and put your socks on without getting your socks wet and dropping it in some puddle in the change room. These are all very complicated things when I was a child, at least for me they were, right? So all that to say, when I was a kid, I never learned to swim and I had a fear of water as well. Now as an adult, I've decided to actually learn how to swim. And so a few months ago, I started to take some lessons. Now, something I've said before, I think in previous podcasts, I've definitely said it on my Instagram and my Facebook and other social media platforms I make content on, but something that I believe is very helpful for any language instructor, particularly if you're a private or small group language instructor, something I highly recommend is that you take private lessons for either another language or even just another skill. So perhaps you're an English teacher and you don't speak other languages. Well, it'll be beneficial for you to take some private lessons for Spanish or for French or Japanese or another language. Or perhaps you're a Spanish teacher and you don't want to learn another language, but you want to get the experience of what it's like to learn in a private class environment. Well, maybe you go take private art lessons, or you take private lessons to learn to play the guitar or the drums or a dance or whatever it is. Private instructors of a language can benefit tremendously by taking private lessons themselves, either for a language or just any skill, because it puts you in the shoes of the learner. You understand then what your students are going through. You understand what kinds of things you might do as an instructor that your students appreciate or don't. Myself, for example, in my swim lessons, I see many things that my instructors do and don't do that I appreciate quite a bit or that I don't appreciate. So an example might be, two of my instructors now. I've had a couple of different instructors. They change every couple months for some reason, but that's how it is at the place I go. I've had two instructors that they'll give me certain swimming tasks to do that feel really hard for me and are really scary for me. Now, I feel self-conscious and I don't want to tell my swimming instructor, oh, that feels like it's beyond my skill level, or that feels really scary, that feels really this or that. I don't want to say it, so I keep my mouth shut. And instead, I just dawdle, drag my feet, or somehow try to push myself to get over that feeling of, oh, that's scary. And on the other hand, I've had other instructors that they'll give me something to do, and they're clearly looking at my body language, and they say something like, some people think that's really challenging or scary. And I might go, yeah, I kind of was thinking that myself. And they go, okay, well, listen, I'm right here. I'm not going to let you drown. I do believe you can do it. I've seen other people do this thing, this skill successfully that are worse than you even. I really think you can do it. You don't have to give it a try, but I really think you can. And that extra bit of encouragement makes me feel like, okay, you know what? Let me give it a try. My swimming instructor is here, they've got my back, and then off I go. However, not all my swimming instructors have done that. And I realized that me as a language instructor, there have been many times in the past where I've probably pushed a student and made them feel very uncomfortable, and I didn't give voice to what thoughts they're probably having in their mind. I didn't give voice to them. Now, sometimes, obviously, you have to push your students. It's not like, I'm not saying you shouldn't push your students, because sometimes you do have to push them out of their comfort zones, and that can be very beneficial. But at least making the conscious decision of, am I going to push them out of their comfort zone in this instance, or am I not? And if I am going to, am I choosing to acknowledge the thoughts they're probably having in their head, or am I not? And at least then, you're making a conscious decision and not an unconscious decision. So as a summary, through my private swim lessons, one of the things I've realized is, or rather, one of the things I've been reminded of is just how beneficial it is for private instructors of a language to take private lessons for another language or just any other skill in general, because it'll make them a much better teacher. Moving on, let's go in backwards order from the topics I said in the beginning of the video. So let's go backwards order. Let's talk about a simple and effective activity you can do at home to work on and build upon your listening comprehension abilities in another language. So this one is pretty funny because I grew up doing this when I was going to school, and most people in my classes hated it. For some backstory, you guys may or may not know, I attended a French immersion school from the age of 5 all the way to the age of 18. So from kindergarten to grade 12, the vast majority of my education was all taught in French. At least all the core classes were. And when I was younger, probably grade 2, grade 3, I don't know exactly what grades, but when I was younger, they would do what's called les dictées. Now, une dictée basically is this. It's a dictation in English. So the teacher is going to read some kind of paragraph for you, and you have to write exactly what you hear. And many of the kids hated it. They didn't like it. It was hard for them. I personally don't think I minded them per se. I don't think so. I don't have any memories of severely hating it, at least. But now as an adult, one of the things I found is helpful for me and many, many students I directly work with that I teach languages to is to do these kinds of intense or active listening activities. Let's call it an active listening activity. It's similar to these dictées that I used to do when I was a kid. So you find a piece of audio or video, it's up to you, doesn't really matter exactly, that has a transcript or subtitles at your level. So let me say those again. Audio or video that has a transcript or subtitles, and the content that you pick, the audio or video you've picked, has to be at your level. Meaning that if you just watch it/listen to it, let's say twice, even with minimal subtitle help, you're able to understand the vast majority. At least you're able to understand bare minimum the gist of what they're talking about. Let's say, I hesitate to say an exact percentage because I'm actually not sure what the exact percentage would be, but it can't be less than 50%. It's got to be above 50 at least. 50, 60, 70, 80, something like that. 90 even. Let's say above 50. I don't know precisely what the percentage should be, but it can't be less than 50. Okay, so you find a piece of content, audio or video, that with some subtitles usage is okay. You understand bare minimum, 50% of what's being said. Probably a little higher, to be honest, but I don't know what an exact percentage would be. Then what you do is you listen to a line, you hit pause, and you either write or you say out loud exactly what the person said. Not in English, in the target language. So you're not translating. You're going, oh, the person said these words. The person said exactly this. Now, here's what's interesting about this activity. It tests your ears and your listening comprehension ability, number one. It's also really good for people who find they can understand, but they can't speak. There's a lot of people like that. Well, sometimes, not always, but sometimes the people who feel they can understand but can't speak, well, the reason they can't speak is because when they're listening, they're hearing all the key words, or most of the key words, many of the key words, and they're understanding the message because of that, but they're not hearing all the words and the nuances of how something was said. So when they have to say that exact same thing themselves, they're unable to, because they don't know the nuances of how to put that kind of sentence together. Or sometimes people think they're good at listening And they're really only understanding 60-70% of what they're listening to. But they think they're understanding 90, 95, 100%. And the second you go, you pause after each sentence and you go, what did they say exactly there? Like word per word. Can you almost like dictate it? Can you write it out as they said it? Then they start to realize, I don't really know. I'm missing something there. So that's a really simple activity. I don't think you should be doing that all the time you listen to something. It's quite mentally taxing. And I don't think doing only that in terms of listening practice is a good use of time. I am trying to get some listening to things that, let's call it, you have a much higher level of comprehension of, let's say 80, 90%. That can be really helpful. Here's a fun fact. I wasn't planning on saying this. If you can find content that you understand 80% plus, maybe even 85, 90% plus, if you can find content like that, that's really helpful too, because there are so few words you don't understand that often when they use a word you don't understand, you'll get it with context or just with a minimal amount of study after watching slash listening. Maybe you look at a transcript, maybe you look up some of the words, right? You'll be able to understand them and you'll be able to pretty quickly add them into your vocab bank in your brain. So that's another little side hack I may as well mention. So do these dictations. It will help you. Don't do it hours upon hours every day, although you could if you wanted to, but you know, every now and then, once a week, once every couple weeks, something like that. It's definitely something at least worth trying to see if you find it helpful. Minimally, it's worth trying because I've seen it be very difficult, very frustrating sometimes, but very helpful for quite a few people, learners that I've worked with directly one-on-one. Helps them a lot with their listening abilities. So last but not least, let's cover off the final topic in this podcast / video, which is one reason as to why many traditional classes fail to help their students to actually speak in the target language. Now, this is an insight that I've gotten recently, and I got this insight, funnily enough, to make this video go full circle, I got this insight from taking a private language class myself. So I took two private Korean lessons, and I noticed something that the instructors, I had two different instructors, that the instructors did, both of them, that were really helpful for me and made me help me understand why in a traditional classroom, perhaps one reason, there are many, but one reason as to why those students in the classroom may not actually be able to speak very well, even though they took 3 years of classes, for example. And the reason is that in those traditional classes, where they're using very traditional teaching styles, which have a lot of benefits, by the way, no, I'm not knocking them, but one place they might fall short is they don't make you practice the language in a real world way. I'll give you an example here. So let's go to my Korean class. In one of my Korean classes that I took, the instructor taught me some basic survival phrases and dialogues that I would use in an airport upon landing or arriving in Korea, South Korea. And then the instructor showed me a dialogue, like a role play between myself and an airport employee, asking them, hey, where can I catch the bus? Where's the train? Things like that. And we did this role play, we covered it, we discussed it, and that's great. And then we practiced it together. But if you picture that, right, if you picture me talking to my teacher and saying, hey, let's practice this dialogue, that's not very real life at all. Number one, the person I talk to when I go to Korea is not going to be my, if I go to South Korea, is not going to be my teacher. Number two, I'm basically practicing a dialogue that I've studied. I'm listening for her, my teacher, to say back to me the phrase I'm expecting her to say. I'm then ready to give my answer back. And that's not very realistic either. When you go to whatever country or you talk to a native speaker, you don't know what they're going to say to you. You can't be listening for that one sentence. That's not very realistic. Even the slide, like I'm looking at this note slide that I had that has all the information. Like even that's not, like I'm almost reading the next line that she's going to say. That's not very realistic. Now, that kind of activity is not completely useless. There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, it's very beneficial. And I don't think it's necessarily bad to do it. In fact, it's a very good thing to do those kinds of role plays in class. I do believe in it. But you also have to add something in, I feel, that is a bit more real life. So what could that look like? In fact, you can do this as a language learner as well, and a language teacher. Well, how do you make it more realistic? What you do is the following. This is a great activity for language teachers as well as language learners. So let's say, I'll give an example from one of my Korean classes. I learned in Korean how to say, I'm sorry. What the instructor did was she taught me the word, she had me say it, she explained how to pronounce it, she gave me feedback. We had a couple dialogues where you have to say, I'm sorry. But then she showed me real life pictures off the internet, off Google, of real life scenarios. And she asked me, hey, Azrin, what would you say in this situation? So she showed me a car accident. And I was like, oh, car accident. Oh, what would I say? I'm sorry. Oh, I know how to say I'm sorry. Oh, let me think. How do I say that? Oh, and then I say it. Another picture, another picture, another picture. Each picture is selected to help me practice, or say rather, one of the phrases that we'd learned in the class. And that helped me so much more. So if we go back to the airport dialogue, you know, here's a way to make that more real life. You might put a picture of an airport employee and you go, hey, this is your airport employee. You just arrived at the airport. So what are you going to ask him? You're lost. What are you going to ask him? And there's many right answers to that question, right? Like, what would I ask him? I might say, I want to take the train. I might say, oh, where's the baggage claim? Oh, where is this? I'm wondering if you know, like, there's so many things I might be able to say, but that makes it real life. I see the real person, airport uniform, there's a picture. Oh, okay. That makes it real life, way more real life. So that's a very simple way to make it more real life, to use pictures where the learners can then use the language that they've been learning in class. And that just makes it a bit more real life, as opposed to a very structured canned dialogue. Now, again, structured canned dialogue is good. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying as an addition, for example, what you might do is use pictures that have a certain situation that would prompt the language learner to use a certain phrase or to say something or to interact in a certain way. Of course, there are other ways to bring the real life into the classroom too. That's not the only way. And many of you, if you're teaching or maybe you've been in a class, perhaps your teacher's done something that did a great job of making things more real life. You know, I saw this great company. I think it was in Mexico. It was in Mexico. I'm trying to remember what city it was in. It might have been the capital. It was a Spanish school in Mexico, and I think it's called, I don't want to get this wrong, but it's something like talking in Spanish, talking and walking, or something like that. Caminando y hablando, or something like that. And what this school did, the way their lessons work, is they will hang out with you. Your teacher just hangs out with you and you go to kind of different places. You hang out in a coffee shop, you hang out in a restaurant, you go do a touristy activity together. You actually do activities in the target language. That makes it very real life, because now you are at the tourist location and the instructor is actually going to make you buy the tickets to get in, the entrance tickets. They're actually going to make you do it, and you're going to actually have to do it, but they're there to help you, right? Much more real life. Or in my Spanish high school Spanish class, I remember, and actually I did a French class in university, we did this too. We would go to a restaurant where we could actually order in the target language, and that was really beneficial. And there's countless ways to do it. There's not just one size fits all, but where many, I just noticed that was in my sweater the whole time. Anyway, where many language classes fall short, a very traditional style, is they don't make it real life enough. They don't bring, if the classroom is the zoo and a country where the target language is the wild, they're not bringing enough of the wild into the zoo. So here you are living in a zoo and you're surviving in the zoo. You're doing very, very well in the zoo. But as you guys can imagine, a zoo animal will die in the wild immediately. It's the same concept, right? So the only way, if you're learning through traditional classes, to be prepared for the wild, or even remotely prepared, is to bring some of the wild into the zoo and give yourself a taste of the wild so you're prepared for it. Does that make sense? So that's, I think, one way that traditional language classes, not all, of course, but many traditional language classes fall short. Okay, well, let's wrap this up here. I hope you enjoyed this podcast slash YouTube video. If you guys have any questions, you know where to reach me, at polyglotazrin on any major social media platform. Instagram's probably, at this point in time, probably the best place to reach me. Or, of course, you can email me by visiting azrinthelanguagenerd.com/contact. That's A-Z-R-E-N, thelanguagenerd.com/contact. And I'll be happy to answer any questions you have. Have a great day, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.